Our reading in the Gospel of Luke continues the story in verse 8 of chapter 2, and it's the story of the shepherds and the angels. Hear these words. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all people. Today in the town of Bethlehem, David, a Savior has been born to you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May the Lord bless his words to our hearts and minds today. Well, we began a series on Christmas through the eyes of various people that first Christmas, and we looked at Zechariah and Elizabeth, we looked at Mary and Joseph, and this morning we look at Christmas through the eyes of the shepherds. I heard about this young boy, Chris, who got an electric guitar from his uncle one Christmas, and the first time he saw his uncle after the holidays, the uncle said, looked at the boy and said, "How do you like it?" And he said, "It's the best present I ever got." And the uncle said, "Really? Are you learning to play it?" He said, "Oh no, I don't play it. My mom gives me $1 a day to not play it during the day, and my dad gives me $5 a week to not play it at night." I don't know what your greatest present ever has been in your life. I've had some great presents, but chances are, if you really think about the greatest presents, they're probably not presents that you unwrap. They're probably acts of kindness that someone did to you at a low point in your life, or just some Christmas wish, something extra that someone did for you. And so when we think about the greatest gift of all this Christmas week, we think about Jesus Christ who came to us as God's greatest gift to us and how we sort of handle that great gift. And I think one of the best ways to really appreciate that is to follow the shepherds in their journey to the manger and their journey to the Christ child. And that's what I'd like us to do this morning. And when you think about the shepherds, for me at least, and I think to most people, the shepherds are probably the people that we can relate to the easiest. I mean, it's not easy to relate well to Zechariah and Elizabeth. It's not easy necessarily to relate to Mary and Joseph, though there's things that we can relate to in their life. And most of us don't think about being wise men or kings or things like that. We're a ways from those kinds of things. Maybe we're wise shoppers, but not necessarily kings. But when we think about the shepherds, they're ordinary people like most of us. And in some sense, they're sort of related to farming. They're out there in the real world, and they're herding sheep, and they're doing it day and night. They're working hard. It's like their job is never done. And they weren't people with a lot of money. They weren't people necessarily with a lot of education, but they were hardworking and great people. And so it's amazing that the first people who got the news of Christ's birth were these shepherds who were, we are told, out in the field. And one of the first things that we hear about them is that they had some fears that needed to be quieted. Now that's a resounding theme that we've heard as we sort of trace these different people that first Christmas. We thought about the fear of Zacharias, and Zacharias was afraid that his prayer of having a child would be unanswered. And then the angel came to it and said, "Fear not, for your prayers have been heard and answered." And then we think about the fear of Mary. And the angel came to her, and Mary was afraid of human impossibility, that what God wanted was beyond the realm of human possibility. And the angel came to her and said, "Fear not, Mary, for the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and that nothing is impossible with God." Wonderful words. And then we heard about Joseph, and his fear was sort of the obedience and following the way of God. And the angel also said, "Fear not, go ahead and take Mary as your wife." And finally, we hear the first words of these shepherds as they're out in the field that night as the angels come to them and say, "Fear not." Now the question for all of us is, their fear was a little different than Zechariah and Elizabeth or Mary and Joseph. But what's the, the fear, I think, of the shepherds that night. Of course, they were afraid of the angels, but I think there's something deeper, and I think that's probably the fear of all of us if we're honest with ourselves, deep inside of ourselves, which is maybe they're afraid of heavenly hosts, that they represent God. And particularly at that time, I mean, God was someone to be feared. I mean, God who created all the worlds and all that is and is holy and is just, and all of us have fallen short of God's glory. We've all sinned and fallen short, and so there's some separation between ourselves and God. And when we see a messenger from God, even an angel, we tend to be afraid for good reason. But I think the message to those shepherds, from those angels, ones that we can take to heart for all of us, like those shepherds, that we've all been in a place at one point in our life where we've fallen short of God's glory and the things that we knew were right, and in that sin we can hear some kind of consolation and peace from the angels. So let's just pick up the story in verse 8 again. And these shepherds were living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will be cause for great joy to all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you, a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And you think about being afraid of God and the creator of all that is. And God chose to be revealed first to us as probably the most approachable person you could ever come to, which is a baby. Not a baby in a royal palace, but a baby lying in a manger, in a cattle trough made into a crib in a makeshift barn, that we could all take that moment and draw close to God and see the tenderness of God's love and God's willingness to share our life, and then to hear those hosts of heavenly angels singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." That God blesses us, that God comes to us, that God loves us, and that God's favor rests upon us. What great news for all of us who've fallen short, that God has a favor, a blessing, and that God loves us so much that he comes to us. And then to pick up the story, that the first thing the shepherds did was to quiet their fears for the message of angels, and then to hear the good news. And when we think about good news, gospel simply means good news, and angel simply means messengers. And you and I need to hear the good news just like the shepherds did. And then the next thing that we need to do is to hear the good news is not enough. The next thing the shepherds did was to go and to find out and to kneel before Christ themselves as individuals and listen to the story to pick it up. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And you and I, listening to generations who've gone before us about the love of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ is enough. All of us have to take a moment and to kneel before the Christ child and to accept God's love into our hearts and lives, that God has come into our world, into our lives as individuals, and to kneel before the Christ child. And so often around Christmas time, it's so easy to get caught up in the hustle and bustle of things, but there's a reverence around Christmas time, and it's so beautiful to just listen to the still small voice of God and to hear those words of angels again. And all of us, I invite us, not just today, but all week long, to hear again the message of the angels, and to, even if we've accepted Christ before, to take time again and to kneel before God and to accept God's love again and to ask for God's will in our hearts and lives. And that's what these shepherds did. They knelt down before that. And one of my favorites, one of the things I do love to do around Christmas time is to watch Christmas movies. I'm sort of a sap for that, I gotta tell you. And with Savannah, watch those together. It's one of my, I guess I have this long list of favorites. Some are funny and some are kind of amusing, some kids ones. One of my favorite kids ones is Polar Express. And we've seen that in 3D, sometimes at IMAX. But I love reading it and I love watching the movie. And one of the things I always think about at the end of this, boy doesn't really believe in Christmas because things have not gone his way, is that at the end the conductor, you know, finishes punching all these holes in his little ticket, and the word for him is believe. And I think for all of us, it really is believe. And sometimes our Christmas, maybe personally in our own life, has been one angel short. Maybe we've had disappointments, be they in relationships or presents, or maybe we're missing a loved one who's gone on before us. Our heart is just filled with some loneliness and some darkness, and it just doesn't seem all that it could be. But if we focus on Christ and the message the angels give us, that God has come in that moment to share our weakest, most vulnerable moment so that we could approach God and to kneel before Him and to share the love of God in that beautiful moment, then our lives will be special. And that's exactly what the shepherds did. I think about one of my favorite Christmas, two of my favorite Christmas carols are actually written by the same person, which is William Dix. And he was saved at a young age, but he was saved at a very despairing part of his life. And he read the New Testament message of Jesus, "Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest." And he decided to fashion a hymn around that. And he wrote this about the hymn. He said, "I was ill and depressed at a time, and it was almost idle away the hours when I wrote the hymn." And he went on to say that when he finished that hymn, he recovered from it. But he went on to write the hymn, "Come unto me, ye weary, and I will give you rest. The blessed voice of Jesus, which comes to the oppressed. It tells of benediction, of pardon, grace, and peace. O joy that hath no ending, of love that cannot cease." A beautiful hymn. But he wrote two Christmas hymns and great prayers in one way. And the first one is, "As with gladness men of old." And there's a wonderful prayer that ends with, and this is how it ends. It says, "As with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold. As with joy they hailed its light, leading onward, beaming bright. So, most glorious Lord, may we evermore be led to thee." What a great time to think about the angels and bending low and to kneel before the Christ child. And then the other one he wrote was, "What child is this?" And he answers that by starting out with, "What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping?" And the answer is this: this is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. And you think about that as he talks about the shepherds and the wise men coming. He ends with this: "Haste, haste, to bring him praise, the babe, the son of Mary." And that's the message to all of us, to praise God this season. And that's how the shepherds ended. They didn't just have their fears quieted. They didn't just sort of listen to the message of angels and to go and to kneel down and worship the Christ child. They ended by rejoicing and giving God praise and sharing the message of the good news. And if you think about it, this Christmas, we can all be angels too. An angel simply means a messenger from God. And sure, we might not have wings and we might not have a sword and we might not be brilliant, but we can all be messengers of good news. We can tell others the message of God's love and peace and to wish others Merry Christmas. And sometimes we get all caught up in the happy holidays, but I really like to wish people a Merry Christmas and that God's blessing would be upon them and that God would bless them in a special way. And if it's not in words, then maybe there's something that you can do that's a special blessing. It was so nice to make Christmas cookies the other night, and those cookies went out to people who could use a little Christmas cheer, and even some of us who didn't need the calories and enjoyed those as well. But listen to how that story ends. It says this: "When they had seen him, the shepherds, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which are just as they had been told." Now, sometimes the Christmas message may seem to get a little bit old, but if you really think about how amazing it is that God would come and God would love us, and it isn't plan B from the very beginning of time. God envisioned not only creating us, but knowing that we would have some shortcomings and need forgiveness, and plan for it that he would give his own self in Jesus Christ to come and share our life and then to give his life on the cross to pay the price for our forgiveness and new love. And it is because of that love that we can know the joy of Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives today. The Russian writer Leo Tolstoy, probably one of the greatest writers in all of history, talked about the Christian life. And he said this about the day that Christ became real to him. He said, "Instead of despair, I experienced happiness and the joy of life undisturbed by death." And that's really what God is in our hearts and lives, to come to us in his life, to share his life through us. And whatever else we do this Christmas season, we need to remember that we can rejoice and give God praise and to share that love with others. And so I invite all of us this Christmas week to sort of journey with the shepherds. They are, after all, so much like so many of us. They're ordinary people, but they have an extraordinary news. We might not see the angels, but all of us have some fears that can be quieted. And amid our fears, we can realize that God has spoken through all the darkness, all the loneliness, all the isolation, and has brought forth the light of his love in Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. And then we can take a moment and just kneel before the manger. Maybe not the real manger, but we can kneel before God and remember that great verse in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, who whosoever should believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life." And that's the reason for the season. And then having knelt and worshiped God and put God's love fresh in our hearts and lives, to really give God praise this Christmas season and to realize how much God loves us. And if God loves us that much, then we ought to share that as if it were our first Christmas with everyone we see in a special way that doesn't condemn others, but invites them to experience God's love. Philip Brooks was a priest. And one Christmas Eve, he actually wanted to travel to Bethlehem. It was one of his lifelong wishes. And he was there on Christmas Eve, and he went to the manger where they believe the first manger, that real manger, was. And it's in a church now. It's in a pretty fancy church. But it's actually the case that you have to kneel down to get next to that manger. And you have, because of just the way it is, it's that low. And so everyone who comes there, whether you're a dignitary or you're an ordinary farmer or factory worker or a student, whatever you are, you have to sort of kneel down. And that's really the place for all of us. Whether you're a shepherd or a wise man, whether you're a professor or a plumber, whatever we are, we're all the same before Jesus Christ. And we have to kneel before that manger. He was so moved by that, he took a piece of paper. He wrote down on that. He wrote, "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." Later on in the United States, he finished that and he wrote, how silently, the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. That's the reason for the season. And so I invite all of us to journey with the shepherds and to experience anew God's love. I'd like to close with this prayer that's a Christmas prayer by Robert Louis Stevenson, who wrote the Star Spangled Banner. Will you join me in prayer? He wrote this, "Loving Father, help us to remember the birth of Jesus, that we may share in the song of angels, the gladness of the shepherds, the wisdom of the wise men. Close the door of hate and open the door of love all over the world. Let kindness come with every gift and good desires with every greeting. Deliver us from evil by the blessings which Christ brings, and teach us to be merry with clean hearts. May the Christmas morning make us happy to be thy children, and the Christmas evening bring us to beds with grateful hearts, forgiving and forgiven. For Jesus' sake, amen." Go forth the blessing of Almighty God, the love of the Father, the grace of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, and the peace and power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. God bless you and have a great Christmas week.